the electric feeling of hope. Now, 4 years later, here we were. Inspired by that hope, we were fighting back. We were sharing a common misery, and shared misery is lesson misery, a lesson I keep close to me from that day. It also gave me back my hope. I took that hope and ran with it, striving and fighting for a better world, striving to take those feelings on that day and make them last as long as they could, make it so that I could feel that sense of community or belonging wherever I went. That is how we make it through these next few years. Hope and community. Taking care of one another. Making sure that we are connected. Checking in on one another. Making sure your friends and family are okay. Building community if you can't find one. These connections that you have or make these next 4 years will be instrumental in keeping you sane. Keeping you alive. You cannot change the world yourself. No one can change the world themselves. It requires an effort. A community. A web of friends and family or found family. An army of connections. Celebrate the little things in those communities. The small victories and joys that keep you going. The power of just living and thriving. Your communities are your lifeline during these trying times. The way that change, real, lasting change is made is through communities, through connections. That is how you keep hope alive. Hope, however, is not passive. Hope is not a passing thought. Hope is not being content. You're mad? Good. Stay mad. Get madder if you can. If you're not mad, if you're content, it means you've given up hope. If you're mad, it means it is not working on you. The lies, the rhetoric, the hate being spread. If you're mad, it means you're not willing to settle. If you're mad, it means that you believe in a brighter and better future. You believe in a world where a woman's right to make her own their own choices is safe. You believe in a world where everyone is given dignity. A world where we are not divided, but united by the power of a raging hope. Hope that burns with the fury of a thousand suns. Hope that screams at the top of its lungs. Hope that cries and heaves and sobs with rage. These are hope. If you have rage, unbridled and passionate, you have hope. If you wish, if you yearn, you have hope. If you know things can be better and want them to be that way, you have hope. In closing, I ask you to keep that hope. I ask you to carry it with you. I ask that you give it to others if you can. When the night has fallen, do not look out and see the darkness and despair. Look up, see the stars, and hope. Hope for a better tomorrow. Hope for a brighter future. Hope for a world where despair is an afterthought. It's this hope that will get us through. It's this hope that will let us live. Finally, to those of you who are more directly affected, to anyone who is a woman, who is queer, who is a person of color, who is disabled, who is an immigrant, anyone who is going to be attacked over and over these next 4 years, stay strong. They want to make us weak. They want us to hide away or give up. They want us to leave them to their hateful rhetoric and divisions. They divide us because they know that united we can overcome whatever they throw at us. We cannot let them have that satisfaction. We must take care of ourselves. We must take care of each other. We must survive. In these dark and uncertain times, survival is protest enough. Living and being there, a breathing monument to all those who came before and all who will come after, is protest enough. In the end, if you feel like you can do nothing else, know that all you need to do is survive. Please, take care of yourselves and take care of one another. Have a good night.
The views and opinions expressed on air on this radio station are those of the author and not necessarily those of WFNP, its officers, the Student Association, SUNY New Paltz, or the SUNY Board of Trustees.
And unafraid, asleep or dead, 'cause I see you lying next to me with words I thought I'd never speak. Awake and unafraid. I'm not afraid. I stay part of you.
I will have to start getting my fashion advice from somewhere else other than the website of a mid-tier suburban Boston classic alt-rock radio station. It's all on you now, SUNY New Paltz, WFNP 88.7, The Edge. Don't let me down.
We won't let you down, Mr. Colbert, because SUNY New Paltz is the best-dressed college campus, and we have an awesome radio station, WFNP The Edge, Rosendale, 88.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to WFMP Rosendale, 88.7 FM, The Edge. And welcome to Nowadays, the show about pop culture and all that jazz. I'm your co-host, Patrick Kelly.
And I'm Lyra Spurlock.
Friend of the pod, back for your second appearance.
Yay!
Mora Dubuque is out this week. We wish her well. Yeah.
For Mora. Hope you're doing alright.
Yeah. So, Lyra, what's in it so nowadays?
Well, I've got three for you. First and foremost is Yellow Jackets. A show that I was long afraid to watch because I am very scared of gore, but I will say to all those girls out there that are afraid of gore, there is a very good website called Does the Dog Die? Where you get to see when bad things happen and you don't want to watch them. You get to skip over them or close your eyes. And that show is well worth it. It is very, very good.
Yeah.
Despite the gore. It's very, very good. And my second is Patti LuPone, because of the recent revival of Sunset Boulevard, I feel that people have been talking about Patti more often, and also because of the
Agatha All Along.
I was going to say the WandaVision reboot that I have not seen.
It's so good.
I'm not like a Marvel girl, but I've seen a lot of her on my TikTok recently. And the third, to me, very specifically, is home cooking recipes. Mm-hmm. Now that we're here in fall, taking those jack-o'-lanterns and making them into soup and some snacks has been my recent passion. So
I did see you reposted a TikTok that was like you make like somebody like making food for like all their friends at their home.
Yeah. I have well, you know, of course the seeds, you gotta roast the seeds, and then I've taken the guts and like the innards of the pumpkin. I've made a decently sized batch of pumpkin soup recently, and then I have a lot extra I want to turn into a bread of some kind. But yeah, that's what I've been into.
For now, my nowadays is the movie Shock Treatment. It's the unofficial official sequel to the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's the much better music than Rocky Horror, I will say.
Really?
Controversial opinion. Yes, it's more Rocky, less like show tune-y, I feel like. The second I would have to say is Patti LuPone also.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about this because I think something happened recently with that production of Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah.
And made me think, well, wow, Patti really does get those. She has her voodoo dolls and she just sticks the pins in them.
Yep.
And third, you know what? I'm going to say my third is naps.
Mm-hmm.
I've been feeling very tired this week and I need to take more naps, and I think that's the way. But Patti.
Yeah.
So for those not in the know, Nicole Scherzinger, who is currently playing Norma Desmond in Sunset Boulevard, posted a Russell Brand, who posted a MAGA hat that said "Put Jesus First," and Russell Brand, very outspoken, now conservative commentator, and Nicole Scherzinger said, "Where can I get that hat?" And now everybody on Broadway is like, "Oh no!"
Yeah. Well, you know what else is that? So Nicole Scherzinger has been an outspoken RFK supporter. And so RFK posted today about Russell Brand, and was something about how the future and like whatever, and Russell Brand, yay, woo. And yeah, she like liked and commented on that post, so now she's in trouble.
Yeah.
And I cannot wait to see what Patti LuPone has to say about this, because she is in controversy herself.
Oh, because of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, in Patti's defense, that it was like, I think it was a mutual misunderstanding of just like, did she know she was being recorded?
Probably not, because, well, also, I think that she, in general, with respect to her as a legend,
she
is just ignorant of her surroundings.
Gab.
She just herself. Like,
yeah.
I don't think she even cares.
I remember somebody posted a thing was like, I can't wait for Marvel fans to, like, approach Patti LuPone in the street and be, like, berated.
Oh, yeah. That is not a celebrity that you can just approach.
No.
You go up to her and you say, hi, it's nice to meet you. And she's like, yeah, whatever, I'll sign your... whatever you have for me, but
yeah.
Like that's not somebody
you
can
fall
talk
on
to.
Your knees.
Yeah, like
yeah, she's not like, who is like an approachable Broadway diva? I'd be like Donna Murphy probably.
Yeah, or maybe Audra McDonald.
Audra, I feel like Bernadette Peters maybe.
I think Bernie to an extent has to be in a circumstance.
Yeah,
I
like if you're like doing something with animals and then you're like, oh, I do stuff with animals, then you could like approach Bernadette Peters.
Yeah, I think that she would be very kind to you if she were to speak to you, but I think that generally she would probably just be like, oh, hello, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No, but I feel like Audra McDonald, yes, is very approachable.
Yeah.
Like she's a very kind soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Patti LuPone, I can't believe the Patti LuPone Renaissance. It does annoy me when people are like, all I can see is yellow diamonds when I see her. And I'm like, have you watched the show since you were a child?
You know what, with Steven Universe, is that I didn't watch the show when I was little. Like, it was on. I only recently learned that she was on that show, and that is a crazy combination. Like, I don't know. Like, Patti LuPone on Steven Universe? I don't know. That's kind of a crazy combination.
Next up, Audra McDonald on The Amazing World of Gumball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know, but you know what? I think that Steven Universe is even worse because...
Megan Hilty on Adventure Time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And speaking of Megan Hilty, Death Becomes Her. I watched the movie for the first time the other night. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's a crazy movie.
It's a crazy movie. And I've also heard by my roommate, Connor, that it is an equally entertaining musical.
I know. I'm thinking I might go.
I want to go, too. Maybe we can go.
Yeah. Connor was like, if you want, I want to go see it again. So maybe us three should go together to the Jewish City Day.
Yeah, it was a really entertaining movie. I didn't know anything about it. I guess, well, like we said on the last... episode we were on together, that I'm like culturally inebriated.
Yeah.
Or, what was it? Emaciated?
Emaciated, I think, was the word you
used. So I don't really know movies like that, but I went to my friend's house the other night and they like sat me down and made me watch it. And yeah, Meryl Streep.
In your defense, I had never seen it until this year.
The movie.
I've only seen clips of it. I only saw like the fight scenes from it, and then like I finally sat down and watched the whole thing.
Oh my god, it's so dumb.
It's one of those movies.
It's so stupid.
A knock against it is that it is the movie where it's like, oh, the famous scenes, you know what? That's the whole movie.
Yeah.
It's one of those like gay movies where like, oh, the famous quotes from it, that's the whole movie.
Well, that's what it is. It's a
like
gay movie.
It's like Clue, where like it's so every part of it's become memed that like, with the exception of like two or three scenes, like you don't like, oh, I forgot about that, but like everything else is just like, oh wow, this is Clue.
Well, you know what, I've never seen Clue either.
Oh, you should see Clue.
Well, I know you I know you would say that because you've like been in the
I was in the Broadway production. I was in the stage adaptation.
Yeah, but yeah, Meryl Streep. Could you believe it? And I don't know if she was in younger makeup or older makeup for the...
I think younger. I think she was, like, airbrushed. Because I think that during... Because I think that would be easier than doing... But I don't know, though, because it is...
It was early for her.
Is She-Devil was around this time also.
Yeah, and I think it was before Bridges of Madison County.
Yeah. We're going to head quickly to a quick break. When we return, maybe we'll have the answers. Maybe Meryl Streep will join us.
I'll look it up.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hello?
Hey, where are you? I thought you were coming.
I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get your flu shot?
I didn't have any time. I'll call you back. Don't get stuck at home with the flu. A flu shot is safe, effective, and you can get it at the same time as your COVID-19 vaccine. A flu shot is the best way to prevent the flu and its potentially serious complications. Don't get flu FOMO. Learn more and get myflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to WMP Rosendale, 88.7 FM, The Edge. Welcome back to Nowadays. And we have a breaking news update. We figured out the answer, we think.
I think. So, Meryl Streep, Bridges of Madison County, happened 3 years after Death Becomes Her. And in that film, she was her natural self. So, I think that it's... well, here comes Google AI saying that through a combination of heavy makeup application, prosthetics, and visual effects, her skin was digitally smoothed, wrinkles removed, and facial features subtly altered, giving the illusion of a much younger appearance. So it was making her look younger, not older.
She did say, I know rather famously, that it was her most SFX-driven movie and that she hated it because it was all SFX. Like, I think she, like, enjoyed working with Goldie Hawn and Bruce Willis and everything, but it was just, like, she hated the fact there was so much SFX and wished there was more practical effects.
Yeah.
Because I think, like, even that's also the type of actress that Meryl Streep is. Like, the... Like, if you think of her movies, they're all very, like, dramas where it's, like, very practical effects. Like, was the where there wasn't, like, any big CGI chase scenes in The Post or Bridges of Madison County or The Iron Lady.
Yeah, I mean, that's not something I'd peck her as, but, I mean, she looked gorgeous, so...
Meryl Streep also, I've been watching... We're doing a scene from Angels in America for our acting class.
Yes, we are.
She was in the Angels in America miniseries. She's in the first...
I didn't know that existed.
Yes, it's on HBO Max. Al Pacino plays Roy Cohn. That's all the only two people I know. Al Pacino, I think somebody else is important, is in it, like, famous is really in it. Emma Thompson. Emma Thompson, I think, doesn't play the angel. Actually, might play the angel. She might play the angel in that. But anyways, she plays the rabbi in the first scene of Angels in America. And it's crazy, because, like, halfway through the scene, I was like, is that Meryl Streep? Because it's completely, like, all prosthetic age makeup.
Uh-huh.
Like, they colored her teeth to look a little, even look a little bit, like, yellow and older. Like, full facial hair, like, crazy. If you can look up, like, Rabbi in Angels in America in the miniseries, that's, like, Meryl Streep.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. I didn't even know there was a miniseries.
Yeah, I haven't watched much of it. I've, like, watched the first scene and then, like, I got busy doing stuff and I, like, I'm waiting to be in the mindset for it.
Well, you know, I think there's a pro shot of the recent revival
with Andrew Garfield and Nathan Lane.
Broadway HD. Maybe we can go watch it together. I haven't seen it.
Maggie, I was also talking with Maggie and she's like, I want to watch it. And so, like, yeah, we should do, like, a night where we watch it together.
But, girl, you know it's about 5 hours, so we got...
if we need to do it, like, we need to watch Perestroika and then watch we need to watch Millennium Approaches, then watch Perestroika, and then have a dinner break in between, like, the actual show. What is it with gay playwrights writing exceedingly long plays?
Oh my god, I know.
Because The Inheritance also was like that, where it was the sequel to A Doll's House, and it was a two play, like, one act, and then he went to the first act, and then he got a dinner break, and then he went to the second act.
Gay people just, they like to get into the subtext, I think.
Yeah.
The nuance and the, I don't even know, going above and beyond. Mm-hmm.
They love being like, I deserve two plays on Broadway right now.
Exactly. Let's split it up.
Yeah, let's split it up.
Girl.
You're not like a one-act play, but then split it up and then put a dinner break in between it.
I know. And I don't want to, every time I come on here, we talk about Broadway, but I am...
Our show is called Nowadays, to be fair.
Because the other thing that has been kind of on social media is Anne Juliet and Charlie D'Amelio. Being in that.
Charlie D'Amelio is in Anne Juliet.
Oh my god, absolutely she is. And
oh, I never got into Anne Juliet. I was kind of like, this is, I'm a homophobe. Queer media that tries too hard to be like,
yeah.
I'm not like, I'm kind of irked by, I think it's something internalized in me, but like, also I'm not a big fan of like, jukebox musicals that like, are like, oh, it's a jukebox, super proud, it's a jukebox musical. Mamma Mia kind of undersells it, because it's like,
exactly.
The vibe of the music also. But what's up with Charlie D'Amelio?
Well, okay, on the term of jukebox musicals, I think that a jukebox musical works when they know that it's dumb, and I think that Mamma Mia itself
and Juliet,
doesn't know that it is,
like,
but the people that are doing it do,
yeah,
you know?
And Juliet thinks it's important, and it's a jukebox musical.
Exactly. And so, I didn't know anything about this musical. Apparently, it's been on for a while, God knows how, many money laundering, I don't want to say that. but Charlie D'Amelio went on, maybe even as a stunt cast, I'm thinking, but she, you know what, she's in the ensemble, which I respect. Because usually when they stunt cast somebody, it's like in a titular role or like
she's
a main role.
In the ensemble?
Yes.
She's like a swing?
Yeah, literally. And so I saw clips on social media, and boy, that is not something I want to witness. But you know what? A creeping little bug in me said, maybe I'd go see it for Charlie D'Amelio, but I think that's why they might have cast her. Not as, you know, she was really talented. Also, and her Dancing in the Stars, like, that was very good as well. Like, she's a fabulous dancer, and I applaud her for wanting to kind of branch out other than, like, as an internet personality, but...
Do some serious... It's like when the girls on Dance Moms auditioned for Annie.
Exactly. Like, I think... I would like to see her arc where she has a more serious career outside of being innocent, an internet personality, but Anne Juliet it's not really cooking for me. It's not really looking like it's something that I want to see, so.
You know what I want to see? The Roommate. Going back to Patty, the play of The Roommate.
Oh, when she's complaining about Hell's Kitchen being next door?
Yeah, it really looks like a Golden Girls episode, but they like have the cast.
Absolutely.
So it's basically Rose, and then Blanche and Dorothy are combined into one, and it's Patty.
You know what always gags me about the Golden Girls is that Sophia was the youngest one.
Sophia was the but she died
and
first.
And she died first. Yep.
That's the episode where they're all singing a line, and they're all in the order that they died. It goes Sophia, B, it goes Estelle, B, Rue, Betty. And they're all talking about, like, oh, what will happen when we're gone? And then it pans over, and, like, Sophia just, like, I'll still be here, haha. But it's the order that they died in.
I don't know about that.
It's wild.
I've never heard of that.
The whole episode was about them, like, worrying about their mortality, and they end up, like, in the order. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
I forget if Rue died first, or if... B died second. It's Estelle, and then I forget if it's B or Rue. I think it's B.
Well, I guess we could look it up. I think B did die first, which is... I think she was the youngest, right?
Was the oldest, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
She didn't look it. She's my favorite, so that's why I'm saying
Dorothy's
that.
Your favorite?
Yeah, of course.
Of course you are. I'm a Rose girl.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. My grandma, my maternal nana was Rose. She was married to a man named Charlie, and they lived in a small rural town. And I was like, oh, and kind of looked like Betty White. So it's all very freaky.
Was it in the North Midwest, or?
No, it was in upstate New York.
Oh, okay.
Upstate, downstate New York.
Where upstate?
Tannersville. Hung it by Hunter Mountain.
Girl, I don't know that much upstate.
It's like here upstate, not like you're upstate. You're in the Adirondacks.
Well, yeah, you should have heard me this past weekend when I went to downstate to Florida, or downstate,
downstate
down the country
to Florida.
And it was like central Florida, but all my relatives there are like from the deep south. They moved there. And every time I said I'm from New York, they go, from the city? I want to go there. I've never been to New York. I'm like, I'm in the boonies up in the Adirondacks. Like, I don't know, like, could not absolutely fucking tell them where it is. But, like, I don't even know. Like, everybody just always assumes that, like, when you say New York, that it's,
Yeah. We have to go at a break.
That's okay.
We will return with more ads. Oh, yeah. Huh?
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to WMP Rosendale, 88.7 FM, The Edge. Lyra is from Johnstown, New York?
No.
Nope. Lyra is from,
Mayfield,
New York. Mom.
Shout out. I mean, the only famous person from Mayfield, New York is the guy that used to host Brain Surge on Nickelodeon.
You which remember
Brain
Surge? Which is crazy,
because when I was little... And, like, I mean, little. Like, I was, like, kindergarten, first grade. Every single episode, Brain Surge, he would end it going, shout out to Mayfield, New York. And, like, I come from such a small town, I thought that it was wherever you lived that he would say your name, and it was just edited that way. And then I didn't find out till I was about 16 years old. Like, I guess I'd forgotten about it, that he actually was from Mayfield. And, like, I know, like... people in my town, like my one of my best friends, her mom graduated with him, and I was like, you know Brain Surge?
No.
You don't?
I'm too young.
No, it was like,
I didn't.
Pat, you're only a year younger than me.
I don't remember Brain. I also wasn't allowed to watch the. I was watched like my. I come from a. I can't say this because my parents are listening, but. Like, TV was regulated, so it was like, I could watch, like, I watched a lot of PBS, I watched a lot of Disney Channel. So, like, when I was young, around the time that you were probably watching Brain Surge, I was watching, like, Hannah Montana and, like, the early other 2000s shows.
So you were more of a Disney?
Yeah.
I think I was Nickelodeon first,
My dad lived in Northville and in Hope, also.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No.
That is... My mom lives in Northville.
Oh, wow.
What if they were, like, they went to high school together? So,
my dad went to high school in Oxford and Norwich. So, we went to elementary school in Norwich and high school in Oxford. So...
When did he live in Northville?
I don't know.
Well, so, my mom is typing right now, but before that, she said, I saw Clue, it's my favorite board game. Out of Africa is an awesome Meryl Streep movie with Robert Redford. And then she said that, everybody in my family said that Grandma Sickler was Dorothy, so.
Yeah.
But that's crazy. Maybe they were living there at the same time.
Maybe. But no, what were we talking about?
I don't even know.
I forgot.
I don't remember.
Nickelodeon, oh.
Oh, yeah, Brain Surge.
Yeah. I remember, do you remember Seen It? Speaking of Nickelodeon and Disney, Seen It?
No.
Seen It was this game, and it was on a 1984 1988. He lived in Northville. Seen It was this game, and was on a CG, and you would put the board game out, and you'd put the CG in, and you'd do it all through your CG, like with your remote, TV's remote, and it would, like, play scenes and, like, mini games. Ooh. And then you would be, like, you'd move your pieces, like, if you got it right. It was kind of like, it had Trivial Pursuit, but for, like, young kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like super cool just because it was like seeing it. Like you could see, like seeing it.
Well, I don't know that, but do you remember the era of Disney movies when there was a...
DCOMs.
Well, not... Okay, so there was a video rental store kind of near my house, and you, like, all the... It was like the early 2000s, late 90s... Well, I would say early 2000s Disney movies. You would put them in your, like, VHS or DVD, and you would play Jeopardy. Like, there would be, like, Jeopardy-themed questions based on the Disney... I remember specifically with Lion King 1.5 that they did that, and I used to play it all the time, even though it was the same questions every time. I could never remember them, and I couldn't get them.
I don't remember that, but I used to have a Jeopardy handheld, like, LCD game. So it's, like, one of those, like, early cheap handhelds. And I never knew how it worked. So I would just press buttons and be like, I'm playing Jeopardy.
Uh-huh.
And then I have a Jeopardy board game from the 80s.
Really?
Yeah. I have it in the back of my trunk right now because I'm like, because we're playing a board game night, obviously. And I was like, I want to play it with you guys. But like, I feel like the questions are like very like...
Niche.
Yeah. It was like, what is this? In 1983, this TV show aired one season, and I was like, I don't know. And then it's like, The Quest for Golden Glory on PBS. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Well, what was your favorite movie as a child? Like, animated film?
Animated film? I didn't watch a lot of animated movies. I watched a lot of cartoon compilation discs, like, when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
I had this one Scooby-Doo one, and it had the... I looked it up recently, and it was, like, called the Bon Voyage Scooby-Doo, whatever. And it was... it would be, like... like four Scooby-Doo episodes from like What's New Scooby-Doo, and then I'd watch it on the car trips. I do remember watching a lot of, I don't know, what was Mom and Dad, what was my favorite movie when I was younger? Like, what movie would I always like rewatch? I think like probably the SpongeBob movie. Like, whenever it was on TV, I would watch it. I used to like Baby Einstein movies.
Don't even say that, because okay, I have two comments. One, I love Baby Einstein, and I always, like, whenever, like, I'm, like, with my friends, it's, like, nearing the end of the night of our hangout, I'm, like, I'm gonna put on Baby, and I go, do you remember this? And it's, like, specifically the one with, like, the seals with the balls going down the thing, and nobody ever remembers. And two, one time, my friend, Emily Ostrander, and her mom was driving me to the Great Escape Lodge, which is, like, a Six Flags...
up in
Lake George, and we were watching that thing with the Scooby-Doo with like the four episodes on the CD, and they had like the thing, like the fancy thing in the back of their cars on the headrest where you could watch a movie, and I threw up all over her car in the middle of Scooby-Doo.
It
just reminded me of that.
You know what movie I watched just thinking about this? I got it from the library, and I would sit in my downstairs, and I would eat. I have this very strong memory of my dad, I think, was the only one home. My mom was off somewhere. And so it was, he made me ravioli, and I put a TV tray down. I was eating ravioli and watching the Pippi Longstocking animated movies. Pippi Longstocking is this Danish children's book about this girl who has long hair, like long pigtails, and like, she's just wild. And her dad is like a pirate captain, like a naval captain. I don't know, but I like was obsessed with those movies.
I don't know about her, but my like niche childhood film is The Velveteen Rabbit.
That's sad.
You know it?
Yeah, the one where, and he burns it at the end because then he becomes real. Like,
well, I don't know. I guess there's a couple. I think that the one that I liked the most was like perhaps the most niche, because Leah also loved The Velveteen Rabbit, but I guess the version that she watched was like not anything like mine.
Yeah.
But like, sometimes you ever like put on those old, like you find it on YouTube and you just like look at it, and like it makes you really sad and like, but also kind of happy.
Yeah. We have to wrap up, unfortunately. That's the ending go on, is The Velveteen Rabbit.
Oh no, I know. That's such a sad thing.
Yeah. Well, do you want to do our intro in our intro?
Absolutely, now that I know it.
Yes. In 50 years or so,
it's going to change, you know.
It's going to change, you know.
It's going to change, you know.
But it's heaven nowadays. And with that, we hope you have a wonderful night. Be lovely to one another.